Hi, friends. I am Marge, your host, and welcome back to the second season of Just Checking In, a podcast capturing human connections, authentic conversations, despite the gaps that we have in locations and time zones. I think this season really opened us up in exploring the narratives of different race, identities, relationship to our homeland, to our people, to our community, and also well-being and mental health, you know, all at once. So, you know, like, we have come to the fifth and last episode of this season, but before we wrap up, I would just like to take some time thanking everyone who has been listening to the podcast. You know, all your feedback, all your support are much appreciated, and definitely just like massive thank you to our full season show sponsor, which, you know, enable us to run the show smoothly, Yellow Ranger, which is also a safe space for Asian Americans to air it all out. And they're also very inclusive of other Asian folks and Pacific Islander. This is an online community founded in way back 2016 by a dear friend, Lauren Espejo, which she also has a podcast called You Had My Yellow. So if this is, you know, like something that you're really keen on listening and like learning from, dialogues about culture, social justice issues, I would love for you to check them out as well. They are on Instagram, Yellow Ranger, that is YLWRNGR, and they have a website, yellowranger.com. Wrapping up our season with another virtual friend of mine. It's funny because we actually met working together on April Magazine, which is, you know, something that I have talked about from the second episode of this season. And yeah, like, the foundation of a relationship is really just, you know, doing the activist-based work for the community. And so I'm just happy to be sitting with Helen today and just like talk a little bit more about how we have cultivated that relationship into a more personal like one, and how we were able to navigate and support each other in that department. So let's go ahead and check in with her.
How are you? How are you? It's been a while. I feel like every time we do catch up with one another, it's always, you know, a huge time gap. So yeah, how are you these days?
I am surviving. That's what I want to call it. I am surviving. I'm under a lot of stress at the moment, but I don't know. It's been very stressful for the whole year, pretty much. And since the pandemic started, yeah, just a lot of changes and stuff. And so I've been surviving and just hanging in there, basically. I think that's the best to describe me right now.
Yeah. I mean, like, I know, like, this kind of the question of how are you came first, but would you like to also, yeah, introduce yourself however you want to?
I am Marge's friend, and besides that, I am also a feminist researcher, zine maker, community organizer, and activist based. Wait, I already said that. Oh my God. Should I try again?
No. Should I try again? Love that.
So that's, yeah, a bunch of things, basically.
And a lot of the answers actually that I get is, you know, obviously, you know, it's always easier to introduce ourselves through the work that we do and like our career and stuff. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I did appreciate that, you know, like you did mention like I am Marge's friend. I think like you're like the first,
yeah, first and foremost.
Yes. How long have we been friends? Like, I remember though we connected through April Magazine. Correct?
Yes, that was when we first met, when I was trying to do the investigative piece, I think.
The whole Facebook thing.
Yeah Can't believe we met so long ago.
Yeah, like, wait, that was that 2018, somewhere in 2018, is,
yeah,
it
2018, we were babies.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, I just like remember, how did you actually got connected with April Magazine? It's actually my question.
Yeah, so I guess I was part of the Asian Feminist Network mm-hmm. group, or I think it was another Asian feminist group. And I saw that I have a friend in Hong Kong that's very active in feminism as well. And she shared the job with me, actually, when Eugene posted for looking for a news writer. And I was like, oh my God, I really want this job, because I wanted to be a journalist at the time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was just, it was a really cool magazine. I guess I really missed it.
Yeah. Like I do remember, just like, you know, at that time I was already a regular editor for April Magazine, and Eugene just messaged me and, you know, like kind of like introduced me to you, like with this whole assignment that you were investigating. Because I remember at that time I was also handling, you know, like our social media pages. And so like I was doing the ads and promotions, and for some reason, all of the ads or like the campaigns that I was like doing and for Facebook were like getting like turned down, and like we're like, you know, they were saying like there was like some, I don't know, violations, and I'm like, which part is violated? I do not understand. But yeah, like I actually can't remember. Can you like remind me what kind of, I guess, like what you figured out or like what you found with that research? I'm just like, wondering.
Yeah, I guess I was doing an investigative piece for one of my papers for my master's, and I guess I found like a, well, besides myself, I've also experienced some form of like censorship or just like violation through like social media as well, posting about feminist things specifically related to white feminism, or critiquing white feminism, I should say. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I guess at the time I was just really interested in seeing if social media corporations actually censor a lot of us, and it's interconnected with like feminists in Asia and of course in diaspora as well. And I did find like a lot of people said that they had similar experiences, and some of them were quite ridiculous, I guess.
I mean, I'm sure like still happens these days, but you know, we're not here to like talk about anything. I mean, like we probably will, because like, you know, that's just like, it's all just connected. But you know, like I know like there's so many already like, you know, spaces where you've talked about this and all these things. So I just like kind of want to like chat about other stuff. I'm sure I have asked this before. We probably talked about this when we were getting to know each other, but I did want to ask, what's your kind of the story? Because I know you reside in New Zealand. I just don't remember if you were born there, just like, you know, your family's history. I guess I'm trying to just like picture. I've always been curious as to what is your life like there. Well, you know, like what started, you know, what is it like growing up? Like also just, you know, the community that you you're surrounded with, and yeah, just to where you, and you know, like where you are right now, because there's a lot to talk about that. But yeah, like, you know, feel free to share what you can with us.
Okay, I'll try to share my life story now. Okay, so I guess I was actually born in Hong Kong, and then my parents and I migrated here before I was one, when I was 10 months. And I guess we settled in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And at the time when they arrived, they told me that there wasn't much here, and it was quite a big culture shock, I guess, just like moving to white settler country and not kind of understanding like Western norms and stuff. And we did end up like moving to a like pretty white neighborhood or like area of Auckland. And yeah, I guess like growing up, I went to like very white schools, and there weren't many people of color. And yeah, it was just quite isolating, and there was a lot of racism and just kind of traumatic experiences growing up, I guess, like the migrant narrative with that. Yeah. And then what else would you like to know, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, like I was thinking, when, because you moved there when you were like a baby, basically, And so when was the time, what was your age when you kind of understood that, oh, like, you know, this is not my homeland, or, you know, like, this is, you know what I mean? Like, because of course, like, when you're a kid, you're probably, I don't know, like, I'm just like thinking when you're a kid, it's not like you have the full understanding that, you know, that you are in a white dominant space, you know, like you're in a different country where your parents is not from and stuff like that. So when did that begin, like, for you?
I think the earliest memory I'd have is going to like kindergarten, or like, yeah, like kindergarten. And there were a lot of like migrant mothers, I guess, taking their babies there or like toddlers there. And all the teachers were like white women. And I guess they just held a very like authoritative, like kind of position with like telling my mum or like other mums, oh, this is what we do here in New Zealand. Stuff like that just makes you feel like, oh, actually, I'm not sure if like, you know, they see us with the same value, or like that, just things like that.
For sure. Do you think what age, like, did you know, like, that's also, first of all, like, that's super early, like kindergarten, when you're like, I can't even, you know what, like, to be honest, like, I can't even remember or like have vivid memories from my kindergarten, or, you know, when I was not until I was like in fourth grade, which is like so bizarre to me. So like when people say like, oh yeah, like I remember I was like 5 years old and I already started this or this, I'm like, lucky you. Right. I can't even remember like things as I was doing. But yeah, like, and you know, like, follow-up question is that, sure, you know, all these things, you know, like you said, there's a lot of racism and all these other things. We'll probably name them later on, but would you say that with your mental health or your emotional, I guess, like, you know, emotional state too, like all of these things affected you throughout like the years up to this day?
Yes, definitely. Like, especially in more recent years when I started getting into community work and activism and connecting with more like people of color, and just realizing how much trauma we hold from like our childhoods, and just like coming to realization that like it was very damaging to grow up around a lot of white kids, and that my sense of self was like kind of, I don't know, broken down, I guess, with how I connect with my identity. And yeah, just a lot of like trauma responses that I can actually associate with how I was treated growing up by my peers. And I think a lot of like my anxiety stems from that as well, and like perceptions of fear, I guess, as well. Yeah.
I'm really, because I'm sure there's a lot to unpack. And like you said, there were, it really affected your identity. And, you know, like there was a lot of traumas with fears and anxiety. And I'm sure this is not only with the experience that you have growing up as, I guess, like as an Asian person there and a woman of color too and stuff like that. But I just like, if you can share with us a little bit more in detail, like what are, you know, like name these things that so comes up for you, anxiety and fear when it comes to identity and community, and what has been your experience from your life there? Because it's so easy to just be like, oh, you know, like for me, like my reference is really just, you know, what I see on TV and on media, and like Asian folks like say like, you know, oh, like, yeah, white folks are like this to me, or like they call me this, or they call me names or whatever, and these and stuff. But I'm sure, you know, there's a diverse, like, yeah, just like experiences of people, and it's not the same for everyone. So if you're comfortable sharing with me, name, you know, some of the instances that really, I guess, still plays a part, or, you know, was a huge factor in that affected you when it comes to this department.
I see. I guess one thing I've been like reading a lot about lately, I've been reading Kathy Park Hong's book, Minor Feelings. Have you heard of it?
Yes.
So I've been reading that, and I've just been reflecting on instances where like I've seen my parents get put down by like, I guess, just like white people growing up. And that kind of, I don't know, shame kind of just stays in you. And, you know, just like learning to have to like protect yourself and defend yourself in those situations, because you constantly see people you look up to being shamed. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's been a big one for me lately, and just unpacking instances where I felt so helpless and I couldn't defend any of like anyone I loved. That plays a big role in like my involvement in community work and wanting to just, I guess, like offer that kind of like safeness for other like migrant youth as well. Yeah. And then I guess you're right though. Like thinking about it, people, I guess when I talk to people in Hong Kong about experiences of racism and like around whiteness, it's usually just centered around like US like shows and movies where it's like, oh, a white person is very blatantly racist towards them. Mm. And they get called names, their food gets made fun of, and it's all that kind of interpersonal stuff. Mm. And then, yeah, I guess it's really hard to actually capture that and describe it to someone who won't necessarily have gone through these things. Mm-hmm. I guess another thing for me that's quite shocking growing up was how many white supremacists I grew up around. Mm. And yeah, that's something you don't really hear about. Actually, these people in your proximity and growing up around them is just like horrifying, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so stuff like that. And also a lot of men we talked about experiences of being an Asian woman or woman of color, mm. and experiences of yellow fever and like dating and just finding out that I'm basically like perceived as an object or like sexualized as like played a big role in like my sense of self growing up as a teen. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot to just like listening to these things. And yeah, I can't even fathom, you know, like what it's like. But of course, you know, like we all have our own causes to bear, you know, just like to also resonate with you, like the whole, yeah, just like being surrounded by whole like whiteness, like stuff, whatever, you know, that is. I've experienced that in some ways. It's not even like years, right? But like for you to literally grow up there and be surrounded by it, I guess like on a daily basis is, you know, is something else. And which I wanted to ask, because you have done so much community work and, you know, also have built all these connections and, you know, like more surrounding yourself with our people. Would you say that it has, of course, you know, like, I guess like what I'm trying like to ask is, has it been better? And if not, I'm sure it's like, have you found other like, you know, also like struggles being in community with our people?
Yeah, I guess well, from the moment like I realized I was like deeply unhappy in high school, I already wanted to like leave my friend group and just like start fresh when I went to uni, which is when I got involved in a domestic violence prevention group for migrant women in the area I'm living in. And yeah, that's when I got into community work and activism, and that's where my roots kind of, and I definitely did feel very, I guess, like I felt like I found a kind of safeness and a space just to like talk shit, basically, to, you know, just talk about everything uncensored and be able to genuinely criticize, like, you know, or come to terms with the horrible things I experienced growing up. And that was very like, I guess it raised my like consciousness with like how I dealt with these things and how I would like to help other people deal with these things as well and unpack it. But in saying that, I guess running Migrant Zine Collective and continuing being involved in activism almost like 5 or 6 years later, I do find that even in like diasporic spaces, not everything is, you know, as ideal as we think it is. And there's still a lot of like inter-community kind of violence or harm going on. And yeah, it's just really important for me right now to focus on my work and what kind of spaces I want to build for people. And that more channeled towards my workshops nowadays, or just like events for people to actually unpack their feelings around certain like topic. Yeah
So thank you for sharing all of that with me. And you know, I know like we talked a lot about your background and all these things that you've experienced and, you know, you've worked at, but which all led for, like, us here. And I kind of like want to delve a little bit deeper into like more of like the personal areas of your life, because I remember, you know, when we were, like that was like 2018 and you were all like doing all these works and, you know, you were in uni and stuff like that. And I was so focused on doing work with April Magazine and all that stuff. And, you know, there was a time that we reconnected sometime in 2019, a year later, when I think really this is when, you know, we got more closer to each other. It was because we have shared, you know, like we were kind of in the same place of from a separation from a relationship with someone, with a partner, and these things, which I'm really, you know, like really grateful for being able to share my process with you with that, and likewise. And yeah, just like I know like how that has played into your also, you know, like in your personal journey when things also shifted. And but yeah, like how has your mental health been, I guess, for the past couple of years?
Oh my god, that's a very long question to answer. Yeah, I guess in 2019 we did get closer as friends, and then we were both going through like a separation, and yeah, it was just like so important that you were there, and I'm like super grateful that you were there at the time. I think that's when we got like really close as friends, and we called every day. It was very cute, and I sent you lots of photos every time I went out. And right now, where am I at? I guess it's been a while now, and we tried to plan a lot of things, and obviously it never happened because of the pandemic. And right now I am on a, I guess, healing or recovery journey from going through trauma. And yeah, I mean, I haven't really talked about this too much, so I won't go into detail yet. But yeah, I guess this has been like a year where I've just taken time to actually feel everything and go through everything. And it's actually been, yeah, quite a challenging year with my mental health. I guess like even at the start of the pandemic, when we cancelled our trip, I actually lost my job, and there was a lot of COVID-19 racism going on, even in my own circles. And yeah, so it's been very tough, and I'm in a better place now, and I am learning a lot more about my own body, my own needs and boundaries. Been really helpful towards my growth.
Yeah, which I'm glad. I'm really glad, you know, that things are, you know, like even if it's just like one step at a time, you know, progressing. For you, I wanted to ask, you know, you said that you see the trauma that you've experience and all these things are just something that you haven't really spoken about, and you also, you know, like you're not that ready, which is totally valid. But I was wondering, what was that moment, or when was that moment or time for you when, you know, like these things like showed up and you were like, you know, like something's wrong, or not, you know, like something's like not sitting well. And, you know, and you were like, I need to kind of like, you know, take action into this. So, because yeah, like what was that? When was that, I guess, or where, when did that kind of show up for you?
Yeah, definitely. I guess for me, I think it was just like over the lockdowns where I was just stuck at home and I was just ruminating in my thoughts, basically. And I noticed that like my anxiety got worse, and I just could feel that there was something different about the way I responded to stress and conflict, and just how my self-criticism was extremely bad. And I guess just an urgency to like complete a lot of things to kind of mask away what I was feeling. Those were all like warning signs for me, which I guess, yeah, told me that I needed to do something about it. Yeah.
I've tried therapy before, like post college, but it wasn't like as consistent as I am right now. It was like just in a couple sessions and all these things. And that was more of an issue of I was having a hard time after college, you know, the usual, I don't know what to do, or like, you know, like kind of, you know, finding job is like so hard. And then you're just like feeling lost. Like, so that was like a different struggle. But I feel like really tending to my own, you know, like mental health journey, I would say, or healing journey, which you already know, but to share a little bit more about that is that you already know, mine, you know, took while compared to yours, which is like, again, totally okay. We all have different stories to hold. And so for me, it was really hard because the, I guess, like the separation that I was going through wasn't taking place in a one-on-one setting, which I mean, it's like we're not physically together. And so like that was, you know, such a huge challenge in kind of communicating like needs and boundaries when it's just like, you know, like doing it virtually, because, you know, at that time I was in a long distance relationship. And so, yeah, so like that played a huge part on why it took me so long to kind of really separate myself or, you know, like leave the situation. And I did really know it was the same actually for you. You know, the realization happened when things are showing up and manifesting on my like body, you know, like, cause I can, you know, we can, I can have all these like thoughts and, you know, feel like this, whatever. But it came to a certain point that I literally, it's like my full body is just like leaving in fear and anxiety. You know, there was a lot of tension in my body, like a whole day, you know, I'm like, you know, my heart's like beating fast, my just like shortness of breath. There were like literally moments. And then like you have those particular moments that triggers, you know, something like, as for me, you know, like, cause you know, like, again, it was a long distance like stuff. So a lot to do with like phone, you know, like calls and texts and stuff like that, like a mere like, you know, like ring or, you know, a pop-up notification, whatever, it could drive like my whole body, you know, my whole body would react like so intense. And just like, yeah, like, you know, like just not having enough sleep, or even when I'm sleeping, I remember that I feel like I'm not sleeping at all. Like my body was just like,
I went through that too.
Yeah. My body was like on alert mode. It was like, it's intense. And you know, like I wake up and I'm like, I feel like I wasn't even like sleeping, because I was just like, you know, like my body was like looking after, you know, myself for some reason. And even like my appetite dropped. It was, yeah, I was like literally becoming like physically sick. And really like that was, you know, like the moment that I like, yeah, this is like bad, like really bad. And at that time, you know, like my ex-partner at the time didn't understand that no matter how I communicate what is happening. So that's another struggle, right? Like then that becomes another like struggle. So there was a lot of that, but I know that my body was just like screaming and just like, you know, really like asking for help. And so, yeah, I did try to, and I thought like, I really need to, you know, like, I guess like find tools and people that could support me. And when it comes to, you know, like therapy, actually that was the last thing that I got into. So before that, I sought help with like more of coaches, you know, like coaches first, because my work that time I was working with a lot of coaches, and you know, these are like different, you know, like, you know, mind and body coaches, life coaches, whatever. And there will be, you know, these, like, there's a lot of these tools of breath work and meditations and mindfulness and all these things. And I tried it for myself, which surprisingly really helped calm down my nervous system. And I think, yeah, it was just like really helpful. And I think that that was, it made sense for me that that was like the first step. And so after that, I also had a really good support system with my friends. So that was like really nice and really helped me also unpack things. And yeah, and funny, the last, I didn't really got into therapy again until my move, which was just like this year. So it took like a full year, you know, me like trying to like go back and forth with this struggle. And it wasn't really until I moved to a new place that I found, you know, like a better headspace and state to, and also, yeah, it took a while for me to find a therapist. So yeah, so like you, with my therapy, it was more of understanding, you know, like what happened. Like it's also, it actually for me just became more of a space where I hear myself out.
And I really like get to hear my own narrative, because I realized, which one of my therapist even told me, I actually wasn't able to fully get out of that, you know, of that situation, relationship, and really disconnect, which I really had to do, not until the move as well. And after, literally after the first session of my therapy, where I had to lay out my story and everything that's happening, I remember that week was the week that I fully left, up until now, we're not in contact. And that was the boundary that needed to be done and able to, also work through everything that's been happening. And you already know this, I have told you before how I was struggling with that. And so to be able to just do that now. And it was so funny, because the second session of my therapy, I told my therapist about that, and she was like, whoa, that was super fast. Taking action. That went super fast. And she was saying, maybe you really just needed, that space where you can fully hear yourself out, because no matter how I was telling this same story to my friends, you guys, and everyone else, there was a different reaction or, opinion, right?
Yeah.
People. And so I had to consider all these things. But when I had that space where I literally heard just myself narrating my story and
and
I was just wow, that was exhausting. I need to go. So yeah, that was really, well, not funny, but I guess it was life changing for me. And even my therapist was saying, I don't think we need to see each other for a long time with everything that we have already been taking action. And I wouldn't say, I definitely recommend therapy with everyone, but I know also that doesn't work for everyone. But I would say all these, right, healing and everything that I've gone through is with the influence and impact of all the other tools that I had, from therapy, from the meditations and mindfulness, having people to share it with, and all these things. So it's a combination of all of it. So that's my experience with therapy. I am still seeing my therapist, and more right now what we're working through is so we're doing this EDMR thing, where it's a hypnosis thing, but to summarize, it's they bring up your triggers until you're desensitized to it, right? And so it's super funny, because for me, one of the triggers is when I hear an Australian accent. And so we're doing that and all these things. And I just remember last couple of weeks ago, I had a brunch with a friend, and we're really talking about life, whatever. And I was talking about this. I was talking about how I was in therapy and the EDMR, and these are my triggers, whatever. And then just a couple minutes later, there was someone who sat next table to us, and I don't even know who was it, whatever, but just
right,
started speaking, and then my friend literally just looked at me. He just locked eyes, just as if for a confirmation, and it was because it was an Australian accent. And then and then he was just are you okay, just typing and whatever, because I just shared at that moment. I was just laughing. I was yeah, it's totally fine. Because also I was in a safe space anyway. So that has been where I'm at with my, the whole healing journey. I'm still kind of, there's definitely a lot of things still that I'm trying to understand. And, when it comes to anxiety and still fears that comes up. But yeah, I mean, I would recommend therapy for others. It doesn't even matter if you're going through shit or a struggle sometimes. I guess even just having a strange someone to talk to that doesn't really have to do with your life. I don't know, but that for me is has been supportive.
I think it's interesting you brought up the idea of telling your narrative and naming things, because that's also been really important for me. But I guess I'll talk more about your initial question as well. Now that I've heard you share as well, like really grateful that you've shared your journey. And I'm so proud of you, of course.
Thank you.
Yeah, always. And yeah, I guess continuing from our conversation earlier as well, I also actually tried like therapy or counseling in high school and growing up, I guess, even because I was so deeply unhappy or even like, deeply unhappy about the situation I was in with like friends and not belonging. Mm-hmm. And that never worked for me because all the counselors at my school were, I guess, white, and they didn't have any like cultural understanding of how to deal with someone from a migrant background or just like a non-white family with like, you know, strict parents or like kind of the values from coming from like an Asian family, a more traditional Asian family. And that really sucked for me. And it really changed my, I guess, like perception on whether counseling actually worked as a like teen. But yeah, recently, you know, I've tried counseling over the years with uni because I think it's really common for everyone to like just be like stressed out and like experience all these things. I don't know. I guess I don't know a single other person that hasn't like had to go to some sort of counseling session over the course of like their undergrad or like, yeah, even postgrad. It's so mentally draining to like be in academia. Yeah, but I guess this year I started going to a therapist and it's actually been extremely helpful for me and like going consistently. Yeah, I think you brought up the stuff about like realizing that like you're being triggered by so many different things and they could just be like, yeah, for me, it was happening to my body as well. Like, I remember there was a period of time where we didn't like talk as much and I was just like anxious every time I looked at the phone and just like trying to respond to people and stuff like that. And I just found so many like random triggers in my life that came from like my past relationship and like my separation and I guess just all the like, I guess, terrible things that happened in it. I would experience like triggers, I guess, even like when I would be like sitting in a car because of like situations I've been put in where I felt unsafe. Or yeah, I guess like for me as well, I can relate to the fact that you said that it started manifesting in your body, like the anxiety and all the stress. And it's so much discomfort and pain, you know, like before I didn't want to call it pain when I experienced anxiety waking up and going to sleep at night, but it is actually pain. It's like a physical strain on your body, you know, that makes you feel like you can't eat, you can't like do the things you used to love. And it's just like very like sad to see your sense of self kind of wear away, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess for me as well, right after my separation, I ended up like, you know, I was still doing my master's. I was still trying to get my life together to work and just like continue running Migrant Zine. And I didn't actually have time to pause and think about what had gone on in my life after ending like a long-term relationship, which was like at least 4 years. And yeah, I guess I've also like talked to my therapist about it. And it's more like we talked about how trauma, when you don't deal with it, it just files itself in some part of your body or your brain. And, you know, it's not dealt with. And, you know, you work and work and you burn out. And then these things come back as like, you know, just like random flashes. And
oh boy, they do.
Yeah. It's so terrible to experience. So yeah, I definitely feel you with the fact of like, you know, how you said it just manifests in your body. And it's just, so I don't know, I just felt like it affected my physical health as well, and that's how I came to realization too that I needed something outside of that. But obviously therapy is not like the only thing you'd need to be doing, and also therapy itself is like almost, well, it sucks, but it's almost like a luxury thing for a lot of people. And I wish like mental health care was way more accessible and, you know, cheap for a lot of people, and sadly it's not. And yeah, besides going to like regular therapy sessions, I've been just continuing to like set boundaries for myself and actually doing the work with like reclaiming what I found, like, I guess what I found happiness and like pleasure in prior to experiencing all these things, or like in instances where I felt genuinely like happy or calm. Yeah, and that includes, like, for me, it includes like making art and cooking and just like gardening and growing food. Yeah, so doing those things have been quite helpful, and reconnecting with friends as well, and just like having friends that are still there after you go through stuff, and like you're just like, oh, sorry, I haven't been able to reply at all. I've just been like really down, or like I've been going through a lot with work and stuff. It's just so reassuring to have other people that understand as well. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, like, it's just like so, I mean, like, it's sometimes it really just blows my mind how, like, our connection, right? Like, you're part of the world that I'm here for some reason. We were connected in April Magazine, and then on the same year, you know, we have like same experience and all these things. And you know, like, that's, I mean, like, that's really the, I guess, like, what I just like was processing things when you were sharing, and really just the root also of why I wanted to push this podcast. You know, like, could have been in a different medium too, but you know, like, for me personally, I've always been someone who is fascinated with just like connections, I would say, and you know, like, not just like really focusing on, you know, like the romantic ones, but just like how we just, we hold so much stories within ourselves, and no matter where you are, you know, like in the work part, whatever part of the world you're at or what time it is, you know, like you talk to someone, I'm sure like a one pointer, you know, like a one instance or circumstance, there would be like that story within us that, you know, like kind of mirrors each other. And I don't know, like, that's just like so, yeah, fascinating for me. And I would just like also to mention that I'm glad that you did mention about accessibility with, you know, like mental health care. If you don't mind me asking, like, is your, like, you know, paid, or is it some sort of like under a plan or of some sort, like for free?
No, I think unfortunately here the mental health, like mental health services are quite, I would say there's long lines for a lot of like government funded ones, or like even ones linked to say women's centers or like youth centers. And yeah, I'm the person I'm seeing right now is a private practice, and yeah, I mean, ideally I would really love for more accessible kind of, you know, ways for people to have access, or like, you know, be able to go to these sessions. But yeah, what about yours?
Yeah, mine is, yeah, like a private practice too. So I'm just like lucky because one of my clients have been supporting me on that, the financial end of that, which is like super, you know, like amazing that I for the first couple of months I was like doing, yeah, like affording it myself. And I wanted to, yeah, like to also, yeah, just bring that up because it's the same, like, you know, here, it, you know, mental health services isn't really as, I guess, you know, like there's not much of a strong foundation still, you know, in our country. And so even, you know, the hotlines here and stuff are not even working, you know, everything is like fully booked when it comes to like, you know, the, I guess like the public ones and stuff. And it's just like, it takes so long, right? Because also like, it takes a lot of courage, right? Like it also like to do that. And, you know, you really can't force someone until like they're ready to do the work. But I guess I'm just like focusing on, yeah, like the accessibility, right? It's like, you know, like some folks doesn't also fully understand that privilege, right? Like that they have when it comes to like these things. And there's literally people out here who would like would want and you know, like have that. So, but yeah, I'm really glad that, you know, for you as well, like there's a lot, you know, that you've been doing now that I guess makes you more happy, which is really good. That's also been something that I've been practicing, like really, I think it's a lot of agency, right? You know, tell me about your end, but for me, it's really a lot of like coming back to ourselves and I guess like reclaiming the power again, or like the agency to lead or navigate our life, I would say. What do you think?
Yeah, I guess for me, it's not really, I don't know if it's agency. It's having like an autonomy to navigate like the paths of life that I really wanted to. And I guess like being stuck in, or like being in a relationship where it's very like heteronormative, and especially with like Asian values as well, where it's very much patriarchal and stuck on like ideas around marriage, having children, things like that. I guess like I really like felt like I lost my sense of self towards the end of my relationship. And I felt like, I feel like this year has just been like reevaluating what I actually really want to do and my own identity, and having just like the autonomy and like, yeah, agency to reclaim all of that has been like really nice for me. And just like knowing that I'm the one that controls my own narrative has been really important for me as well. Yeah, so definitely resonate with what you're saying. And yeah,
that is, yeah, I'm just really happy just like taking it all in, you know, like thinking back to, yeah, just like a couple years where, you know, we were just like also new to like unpacking all these things, and now coming to, you know, to this point where, yes, of course, we're still, you know, doing the work and stuff, but I guess like having just more certainty and clarity in the way we speak about it and the way we understand it. So I'm really glad. I definitely resonate, and I feel you with the whole, you know, like losing, you know, your sense of self and you know, like that identity and what you want for yourself, you know, towards the end of your relationship, and, you know, following all these like systems that is like ingrained on us and all these things. For me,
yeah, I feel like I just keep wanting to say I'm so proud of you for all your progress after all the talks we've had with like crying and things like that. But yeah, I definitely feel you with like that kind of binary thinking with like you're this, you're that. You have to either be this or that. For me, I think it's interesting. We've talked about it before that you didn't really, you come from like a less traditional kind of family with like, you know, you don't have as much experience with like parents wanting like marriage and stuff. But I think for me, or for many folks that have or like women of color that have migrated with their families, that sense of like patriarchy and like kind of sustaining cultural norms is like amplified very like to the max when like you know, you migrate to a Western country and then you experience whiteness and like so for me it was very like those things were just like very emphasized to me growing up, like, oh, when you grow up you'll like find a nice husband with like, you know, those things, and like you'll get married one day and you'll have kids, you'll buy a house, and just like seeing all of this happen to like Asian women around me growing up, I was like, oh, okay, I guess like that will be me one day, you know. But I guess like that was not what I wanted at all. And even with navigating my past relationship, when you were talking about identity and sense of self, I actually thought back to a moment where I was pretty shocked and deeply unhappy when I was at a family event with my, I guess, my past partner, and I was asked like, oh, so you're a journalist and you study communications because, you know, you want to be like him. And I was shocked that that was said to me. I was like, really? Like,
wait, seriously?
Yeah, I was so annoyed or upset, I guess. I was like, really? Like, you know, that's not me at all. I wanted to do this because I'm a feminist and I'm an activist, and I do this for like, because I love the work I do. I'm passionate about, you know, the people I like want to help in community work. And yeah, I was so baffled by like, you know, how this just like exists. And this is how the majority of people will perceive me if I do like end up staying in that relationship, or just like continuing being in like, I guess, I don't know if that's correct, like Asian dynamics, I guess. Even with my extended family, sometimes I get questions about, oh, what will you do in the future? Do you have a job yet? Do you have a stable job yet? Like, it's just like people constantly constantly trying to fit you in these boxes,
yeah,
with like, you know, in accordance to like your gender, or like with like womanhood and how it's associated with like, oh, you have to be this, you have to be this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess also with that, I think I mentioned to you with that agency came like more like understanding about my feminism as well and mm-hmm. my relationship with gender, but we can talk about that later too.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing and naming, you know, like all these things, and really like also, you know, yeah, just sharing the particular situation that you were in. I was just like, my jaw dropped. I was like, huh? I was like, wait, what? Like, but like, you know, like this happens, right? Like to a lot of us, you know what I mean? Like, but still, like every time someone, you know, tells a story like that, like it's just so, yeah.
Like I think narratives are just like repeated around us from like aunties, our mm-hmm. mothers, mm-hmm. and it's just like constantly reinforcing, oh, you need to fit this, like look at this, you know, my friend's daughter, like mm-hmm. she got married, this happened to her, she's really happy now, when will you do this?
Yeah.
Constant pressure. And
yes,
you know, I guess with the like work we both do, it's like almost impossible to imagine that kind of life or like narrative. Yeah,
for sure. I remember I even like, for me, I come, family dynamic is not, I would say, not as, you know, like they don't bat an eye so much when it comes to like what we do. Like there was no like, you have to be this, you have to be that. Like that, it comes up, sure, it does come up, you know, like sometimes it's like on a dinner table or with our relatives, whatever, but it's not as, you know, like much pressure. It was like just, you know, like a comment that happens. But I definitely would think that I've had moments where, because I am just like, my whole life and my whole being is literally just like not doing and following like, you know, the, you know, what's the norm is. Like, you know, like everyone's doing it like this, I'm gonna do it this way, you know what I mean? So like I've lived like that way, and so I feel like the people around me, whether it be my family or my friends, have gotten used to it. And actually, you know, like in a way, I think some of, which is, I'm really happy, you know, like it inspires them. But I still get that comment of, especially to like, you know, the job that I do, right? Well, when they ask me or like all these things, I still get questions like, oh, but when are you actually gonna, I guess, like get full-time, you know, job or whatever, like, you know, something like that. And I'm like, this is my full-time job, like I'm literally running, you know, like some sort of a business at this point, you know, having all these like literally like a one woman show right now, which I'm already expanding. I have a team already, and you know, like it's like they just like see you, you know, like, so you're like, oh, like you're still a freelance or whatever. Again, nothing against, you know, that. Like I literally started like that. And it's like, why is that, you know, why do you speak of it as if it's something below the people who have a 9-to-5 day job? You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, for me, like, yes, sure, like you only see it like that, but literally what I do is the same process, I guess, like as what your company is doing. You know, like I have my own contracts, I have, you know, like a long-term clients like under my belt at this point. And you know, I'm like kind of building my own team now and stuff. And so just because, you know, it's not like the usual, I guess, like company thing or whatever, as huge as, you know, like how people used to see it, then it's not considered a job. So I still, you know, get those comments, but I feel like I've come to a point where I like, I just don't give a shit anymore. Where I'm just like, well, I am living well, I am, you know, I can afford to like do all these things for myself, and you know, it's not like I'm harming you in any way. So yeah, you know, like I'm just gonna do me, I guess. What do you, you know, like what have you learned, I guess, with, when it comes to, you know, like mental health or trauma ever since experiencing this shift in your life then? And what do you want folks to understand, you know, more about this?
I've also been like talking to therapists about how like having respect for yourself leads to like to respect other people more as well. And that kind of translates into like holding space for myself to rest and to really process things and just like make sure I'm able to separate my like initial responses, which may be from triggers, from I guess just like actually what do I really want to say, what is my body trying to tell me, and having time to process that is really important. Yeah.
Yeah, because I do remember, you know, like one of your posts actually in your Instagram story, like I can't remember fully what the context was, but you know, like there was like this whole kind of message of, yeah, just like saying to like what you would like people to understand more when it comes to like folks like us who has experienced, you know, things like this. And again, you know, it's like different stories and different contexts, but I definitely agree to the whole boundary like thing too. And it's not easy. You know, like I too thought like I had a good sense of boundary before, but then kind of unpacking all these things, it's like one of the areas to use that I kind of needed to look inward a little bit more. But how I think you mentioned that having that time for yourself to rest and, you know, all these things, I wanted to check in with you. How has that been like? Because I know that the last time we kind of caught up with each other, you know, like you're kind of having a challenging time when it comes to your relationship with rest.
Yeah, I think we talked about it. And yeah, I think with running like Migrant Zine and like doing my master's and everything, it's often quite challenging to balance everything. And I mean, I meet people and they're just like, wow, you do so many things. And I guess this year I've also come to a realization that some of that was a response that my body was having to, like, while I was trying to process everything that was going on and just trying to protect me, my body trying to protect me from like having to deal with very hard hitting kind of emotions as well. And I guess just my relationship with rest has been much better over the past month because I've just been able to focus on clearing off things on my plate and just not taking on anything else as well, and just learning to celebrate what I'm actually doing. Because it got to a point where I was just like, I'm doing all these things and I should be celebrating that. Or I published a journal article, I published a chapter, like, why can't I feel anything? Mm. And yeah, I was just like constantly in work mode, even when like my sleep was disrupted, like you like talked about before. And I guess just processing through that and like wondering why don't I feel happy for myself when this is actually a big achievement for anyone? Like, I would be happy if it was my friend or like, you know, a partner or someone like doing something like that. I would want to celebrate with them. But for myself, I'm often just time to move on to the next task. Like, I've just noticed that. And I guess even when you told me that I'm taking on a lot of things and I might not be like resting enough, it was kind of like a wake up call as well for me with how I was handling my own work. And I've just been taking it very slow for the past couple of weeks after clearing some deadlines, and it's been good. I feel much more like prepared to deal with my body if I experience anxiety or experience any form of stress. I'm like, oh, I can actually have 10 minutes to step away, or like I can have 10 minutes to focus on something else, or like I can have 10 minutes to plan out this project I've been kind of stressed about. So yeah, just that whole idea of like being able to hold more space for myself after kind of setting these boundaries.
I was just like thinking how much like progress you've done too, and I'm like really proud of you. No matter if you think, I know that you do like have tendencies to kind of, like you said, you know, like you don't celebrate yourself that much, you know, it's like one thing after the other. And it's also, you know, took me a while to also learn that as well. I feel you on that, and I definitely like have a lot of moments where it's like, this is published or this is this, and it's like, you know, this whole thing that people praise you, you know, about it, and but then you're just like, okay, but what's next? What's the next deadline? What can I do next? And not pausing it, right? Really, like that, yeah, affects how we also you like see like ourselves. And so I'm glad that, you know, like you're also, yeah, like in a place of and learning and practicing more of celebrating yourself and resting as well. So I'm really proud of that. To wrap this conversation up, like at this point in your life where you are right now, because we're, you know, we're ever evolving and changing. Yeah. How would Helen, I guess, like describe feeling safe at this point?
It feels so abstract right now, but I guess feeling safe is being able to like live in wholeness in my own body and just really be able to like cater to my own needs and really hear myself out over like societal pressures and like pressure from say my parents or like other people. Yeah, just being safe would just being like, I guess, selective and setting boundaries about who I choose to be with and my support network. Like before I was just like, oh, I love like having company around me. I would just hang out with like a bunch of people. And I like realized that's not sustainable over the, like over the course of this year. And yeah, just like having a close support network, being able to kind of just, you know, live in my own body and being able to like let myself process through trauma and let myself process things that have happened to me in the past to in order to like move on and build something better, I guess, would be what's safe for me right now.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. All of it. I'm all for it. Yeah, like yeah. I'm just gonna agree and just like, yeah, please continue. Yeah. I just like feel really proud and happy. And I just like, yeah, talk to, you know, my friends and see where they are and kind of like seeing like how they're looking after themselves.
Yeah.
And you know, it kind of just like solidified to where it's like, yeah, like, you know, I'm surrounded with people that are aligned with me and speaks the same, you know, like language, like as me. So yeah, I'm really proud of you with that. And I really appreciate you sharing all these things with me. And
yeah, I think it's like amazing that our friendship sustained for so long, even though we've never met each other before. And, you know, we just like basically chat online and we like call sometimes. And yeah, it's crazy how it's been like, what, like maybe 2 years now, 3 years?
Yeah, I would say like, yeah, 2 to 3 years. And like we have shared like, you know, like milestones and like the shittiest, like, worst, you know, parts of our lives. And yeah, that's I don't know, it's super amazing.
That is a wrap for our second season of Just Checking In. That's been Helen, and I hope y'all enjoyed the last and fifth episode. I definitely had a great time checking in with my friends, mentors, and learning about where their heads and hearts are currently during these times. And it really has been a roller coaster journey for this season, I think. You know, like we went on about talking the life of Filipino Americans, comparing it to my life here, to my lens here, and learning from one another. And then we moved forward talking about the renaissance of Korea. That is so much fun. Y'all know, like, I had a lot to say about that. And yeah, shifting to, you know, like moving places, also talking genders, what it's like to be non-binary these days. And we have the crazy fangirling diaries that we tapped on as well. And we wrapped up with, you know, like more of a serious discussion with our mental health. So I am still, again, just like reflecting on a lot of things with this stories that I have held with my guest. And I'd really love to know what you guys think as well. If there's anything that resonates, if there's anything that, you know, like a dialogue that you would like to challenge, I'd love to do that with you. So please tell me, DM me, follow me at Marja Stanley Studio for updates, and feel free to share your feelings and thoughts about this season. I will be back for season 3. That's right. We have another season, and very soon we will wrap up the year with that season. So I'll be checking in with more folks, and I'm excited what stories we'll be tapping on soon. So make sure you tune in for that. Be well, everyone.